Welcome back. I'm Professor Stefan Obini, orthopedic surgeon at UCSF and your host for this DocSF podcast. Today, we begin the first of three episodes in our Startups We Love showcase, featuring XY.AI Labs, Hip Insight, Vent Creativity, and EVERX. Our moderator is Dr. Ronald Navarro from the Southern California Permanente Medical Group. Let's join Ron on the DocSF stage.
Thanks. Let's get the group up here, if you don't mind. XY.AI Labs, Hip Insight, Vent Creativity, and EVERX. Thank you all for coming and wanting to show your wares.
All right. So good morning, everybody. My name is David Yusufzadeh. I am the head of sales at XY.AI Labs. We are a startup company out of the Bay Area, and we developed agentic AI targeted to small and medium practices. And ideally, we're trying to remove the friction from healthcare operations, give them back the gift of time, allowing them to scale and see more patients and provide care. So the main problem we're trying to solve is the $1.5 trillion operational bottleneck. Now, for the last 10 years, I've been working with small and medium-sized practices. And the issue is revenue cycle management. It's a big topic. They have to outsource the billing, or they have to hire the local biller down the street who just doesn't have the capacity to manage multiple practices. Therefore, they're dealing with a bunch of denials, they have rejected claims, and they actually don't have the visibility into their AR, which is a huge problem. On the payer side, they're using AI today to quickly deny more claims, and they typically underpay as well. So that starts the whole appeal process. So there's a huge need for agentic AI for visibility and scalability. So with XY, our platform today, we have five agentic agents with more in development and more to come. I have videos that we'll go into in just a second, but data entry and transcription, it doesn't make sense to pay a full-time employee entering data across multiple systems. With the small and medium-sized space, the EHRs don't do everything. They have to use a patient communication tool, a billing tool, an EHR tool. So it's not scalable. So that's where the data entry comes in. EOBs, intake, referrals can all be handled automatically. The browser agent, it's awesome. I'll show you, it's cutting edge AI RPA. It can replicate and record any web browser workflow and execute it moving forward, and you can incorporate into multiple workflows. Missing information and errors as well. If there's a multi-step process, record conciliation, or think about claims, right? Rejections, avoid them. Why get a stop right at the beginning? Missing information comes in. Scheduling is pretty straightforward, and the claims management is really where I want to talk about, because the denials are a big issue. You can't scale. And with this, there's intelligence models. So as the denials come in and they're working, it's going to know that, and it's going to be proactive and avoid it in the future, boosting your clean claim rate. So the next slide here is going to be a demonstration of the data entry. And then we're going to go ahead and proceed to the browser.
The XY.AI web application. From the home screen, you can see all of your active workflows, and you can launch a new workflow from here. You even have the ability to download the XY browser agent. Now on the left-hand side, we can jump to the workflows where you can monitor and create new workflows using three core ingredients. One of them will be the agents. And under the discovery tab, you can see the active agents we have available with a description of what the capabilities entail. You also can incorporate files such as contracts and SOPs into a workflow, followed by the third ingredient, which is the integrations. Think of the EHR systems, the drives, the PMS systems that you want data to pull from and it push to. Now, for this demonstration, we'll jump into the workflow and we're going to create a new workflow and provide the AI chat box some instruction. So by clicking generate, I'm telling the system to create a three-step workflow that retrieves Gmail invoices, transcribes the information, and pushes it to the billing system. And as you can see, that three-step approach has been created. And from here, I can click Start Workflow, name the workflow, and start the execution. Once the workflow has been created, I can proceed to click into it. And then from here, I'll go ahead and proceed to upload an invoice. From my end, I'm going to upload the invoice manually. From here, the right-hand side is going to give you step-by-step updates. So right now, file upload completed, and it'll continue to provide alerts as we proceed. On the top here in the middle of the screen, we have different queues. Now, these queues are in fact customizable depending on the business needs. This particular workflow is tracking the agent's to-do list, what's in progress, and what has been processed. Now, we can do this workflow and have everything done automatically from transcription to auto push to the PMS system, or we can have some human in the loop step where the human will be tasked with reviewing the transcribed information and the selected billing metadata and choosing to push the information at the end. Choice is yours. Now, you're going to notice here the agent was in progress and it's now processed the transcription. So I'll proceed to click into the process transcription. And the first thing you'll notice is that it's going to pull predicted billing metadata to push into the practice management system. So the AI technology can predict the data and push it in automatically. And then down below is all the other transcribed information from the PDF. Now, the great thing about this tool is we can still make corrections if needed. So this zero amount can be edited to $10. I'll click save. And that information will be updated in real time. Now, I want you to ask yourself, like, how much time is being saved here? Well, if I go into the PDF itself, imagine a staff member receiving hundreds of these per week, per month, maybe even thousands. They have to manually copy and paste the information over and over. And there's an element of human fatigue as well as human error. With the AI workflow, we can depend on it being accurate and more precise and completing these much faster. And that's the workflow. Thank you.
All right. So guys, I want you to ask yourself, if there's any operational bottlenecks that come to mind, let's have a quick conversation and see if we can help. Thank you for your time.
Hey, David, thank you for the presentation. And my question to you, without a lot of clinicians in the room, they deal with peer-to-peer and denials and things like that. How do you ensure that all these different payers who all have different policies feed into you and update year by year so that you know what the policies are and so that docs can get paid?
So the great thing about the system too, as we build our network of customers, all that data is being recorded by our system. So as they're uploading the files, if you recall, there's a file folder with the three core ingredients. As we update that, the AI is reviewing that information. And using the language model, AI understands the differences that are being changed and it's going to incorporate into the workflow.
I just want to add something super quick about payers. There's a new trend with payers because of the shortage of clinicians and because of providers using more and more AI. They know it's coming and they don't want to kill their own ecosystem. So I really believe that there's a big room for zones of trust at certain layers and they kind of agree with that. So that's also how we are further building the platform.
It would be great if I think all the payers were always sharing those openly. I don't know that they always do that so that we can all stay within the parameters. Let's move on. Thank you again. Appreciate you. Hip Insight, Stephen Murphy, you're next.
Thank you. I have the pleasure of reviewing where we are with Hip Insight systems at this point. The two key elements to this is for hip surgery, application specific. It's all about preoperative intelligence and then various methods of intraoperative execution. So everything at the base is information. This is all three-dimensional planning and patient-specific component placement. And so we know everything about what we want to do and what the surgeon wants to do for that particular patient. And we can handle very complex surgeries, not just primary hip replacement, but very complex revision surgery as well. So that's the preoperative intelligence side. The next side is the intraoperative execution. The first methodology was smart mechanical navigation tools that would dock on the patient. Then we brought that up to mixed reality guidance, true immersive projection of the information inside the patient by keying it to the patient. And two other applications as rapid evolution. One is augmented reality, where we're actually tracking our tools in surgery and displaying it on screens, giving a mobile window into the patient. And then the third is to use X-rays and to use three-dimensionally informed interpretation of X-rays. So when you get an image in surgery, you can figure out the angle and then you can actually make accurate measurements from that. So mixed reality, patient-specific mixed reality guidance is keying all the information to the patient and having an immersive experience where you are projecting all of that. Once you plan, you have three-dimensional models of the patient and all of your tools and implants. And so those can all become effectively holograms. There's a typical sequence of the hologram projection during surgery. And then you can load that on a mixed reality or an augmented reality device and use image recognition tracking to anchor the information. How we do that on a patient-specific basis, there are actual physical docking tools, one for lateral position, one for supine. And we can virtualize those just by using a digitizer and putting a few points in as if we dock that tool. And of course, we can use cloud registration if we have scan data input as well. Here are examples. This is projecting an acetabular reamer at the right angle in the correct position. Here is a video of implanting the acetabular component using mixed reality guidance. So all you do is take your reality, move it into the mixed reality, and you're done. This is very accurate. This is an independent study from Duke University. This is equal to robotics in terms of accuracy, much faster. What else? So we have the three-dimensional intelligence on a patient-specific basis preoperatively. How else do we leverage that? Well, anterior surgery is becoming predominant. Intraoperative x-ray is becoming predominant. So x-ray interpretation is a major area in our field now. And the current two-dimensional information is limited because you don't know the angle of the x-ray, so you can make very precise measurements on an x-ray, which can be systematically very inaccurate if you don't know where the x-ray angle is coming from. So we're working on better interpretation of the x-rays, rapid, less radiation, more efficiency. And the way we do this is we plan the surgery in 3D. We create a simulated CAT scan of what it would look like after surgery. We can create x-rays from any angle. And then we can use those and watermark them with intelligence in advance of the surgery. This just shows acquiring an intraoperative image and then comparing it to a preoperatively generated image. And you can see that we have images generated from multiple angles. And this is a very rapid way of co-registering that x-ray. This shows also doing it graphically. This is a way that machine learning, we can use contours like that to do rapid assessment. So the idea is fewer images, more accurate assessment of those images, more efficiency, and radiating the OR team much less than otherwise. And we can pre-watermark with all this information from that projection angle. And so we can make these measurements in advance, do comparisons, adjust them in surgery, and all the critical information is there. Other form factors, not everyone wants to wear a lens on their head. Some people like the hoods and the headlights. So once we finally lean into iOS, it's very simple. We can create these applications, load them up. And so anyone's iOS device, whether it's a recent iPad or an iPhone, you load it up, aim it at the tracker, it immediately displays it. So now you have an intraoperative window into the patient. So anyone can walk in the room and see inside the surgical field. This is an example of this iOS application. And a 2D screen, it looks the same as the true immersive mixed reality. But again, all you're doing is matching up the reality with the augmented reality, and you're done. Huge opportunities for machine learning here. We have, if you've done something 20,000 times with human involvement, it's perfect training set for machine learning so that the next time it can be done by the machine. That's not only for automated image comparison, but really what we're working on is being able to predict what that patient looks like in three dimensions from a minimal data set so that now you can have CAT scan level three-dimensional navigation without even getting the CAT scan. So that adds the other 90% plus of patients into the fold. So three form factors, mixed reality guidance, augmented reality guidance, and three-dimensional informed x-ray analysis. So there we are. Thanks very much.
Great job, Dr. Murphy. 20 slides in 5 minutes. Perfect. You didn't talk about an industry implant partner. So is your system agnostic to all of that? Because typically a lot of these systems input a lot of the data that the implant has so that it's a little bit easier to move along. Tell me more about implants and industry and whether you're agnostic to those.
We started out being implant agnostic. So we had CAD files of many companies. And then we got closer and closer with Zimmer Biomet, and we have an exclusive co-marketing agreement with them. So even though theoretically it's an open platform, all of our new customers are ZB users.
Thanks very much. Okay, on to vent creativity. Gilly, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. So I'm Gilly Yildirim, founder and CEO of Vent Creativity. We're a digital twin company. So what that means really is we're distinguished from your typical simulations and biomechanical applications where we're creating a true digital twin of the patients with all the ligaments, muscles, cartilage, meniscus, everything you would expect from any kind of image modality. And at the tail end, we're uploading that to any system that you prefer to use, so agnostic. So the problem today is surgery is extremely biased. I think starting from the initial aspects of orthopedics, we looked for landmarks, we looked for true locations where we can cut from. And we also looked at two-dimensional images to figure out how to place an implant or to basically address the issue. More recently, as you all know, we're in robotics where a three-dimensional model is created, but at the same time, really, we're not getting much more information than just sort of the bones outline and then where to place an implant. And even then, a lot of people like to look at it in 2D and see if it's going to fit correctly or not. So our goal is to basically start from scratch. Instead of building on what was created, we're creating a system that is ground up a physics model. So it understands how a human being stands up. We're calling it evolutionary alignment. And it figures out, based on patient's arthritic state, where an implant should be placed, respecting the ligaments, respecting the muscles, to really create a kinematic model that really addresses the issues. And then once that's created, then we have an interop system that also shows you the soft tissues to see when you're placing it, if there are going to be issues or not. So right now we're cleared for T-based imaging for knees, and we're also working on our MRI version. And we have partnership with orthopedic-driven imaging, which is a floor system that's going to be featuring as well. Our goal here is, as you can see, instead of just creating outlines, we're using what's called point clouds. These are a lot of information coming from different image modalities. It gives you information on where ligaments and muscles attach, how big and how small of an attachment that is, and how that's affecting individual patients. So we're not making assumptions that every patient has every ligament. It basically has a system where this patient's image tells the story of how they're functioning and that how they really should be functioning. So it back calculates exactly how the function should be based on existing data that's been sort of softened in terms of Gaussian models to understand how a healthy version of this phenotype should move around. And as you can see in the MRI or CT version, we can look at soft tissue health as well. If there's a meniscus tear or if there's an ACL tear, we can flag those if that's relevant to surgery. And the models we create are sort of what you can see. First of all, we're creating intensity models so you can understand the stiffness of the ligaments and other soft tissues to see if that's going to be an issue or not, where the osteophytes are, if you want to remove them to release the ligaments, and then create a true digital twin, as you can see with the fibers. It really explains how the bone is going to move and doesn't presume where the center of rotation is, doesn't presume how it's going to move. It essentially moves the leg back and forth to see where the ligament is going to have what's called minimum energy, which means that that should be the optimal location for an implant to be placed. And that also respects the cartilage line, removes all the unhealthy cartilage, only looks at the healthy levels to understand where the implant should be placed to really stabilize the joint. More recently, we're getting into sports medicine applications. A couple of the surgeons were using this in Switzerland, where we're looking at our density-based modeling to see where an ACL should be reattached. So it's not just the attachment location, which is subjective, but also trajectory. So for any given flexion angles, the ACL is going to be engaged separately. So we're able to predict that and then give that back to the surgeon. So our overall goal is pre-op plan that has 5 or 6 points that are going to really help you with the surgery. So that when you go in, you know the bone quality, you know the type of cartilage you're dealing with this partial knee, and where to reattach or remove ligaments to really stabilize the joint so that there are no surprises. The goal here is to have in and out zero risk surgery, maybe not zero risk, but zero risk from a mechanical perspective, and then leave the rest of it to surgeon to work with. And here's how it looks on an intraop version. That's sort of the, I guess, the future of the company. We're working on these on cadaver labs right now. The distinguishing feature for us is can see individual ligament models that are getting activated. So as the surgeon's moving around with an infrared system in this case, we're also working on an augmented reality version. But you can see which fibers are getting strained. And does that match the pre-op plan? If it doesn't, should we release the ligaments or should we plan a new cut on the fly? And the system can update the whole thing based on new information. So then instead of relying on sort of topological or typical philosophies you have out there, this is based on individual patients' kinematics that could be different than typical measure resections or mechanical alignments or whatever it is. And the future is we're looking at robotic controls as well as augmented reality controls where you can instrument any system that was mentioned in the previous talks. We can essentially train our models on any instrument and all of a sudden that's active. So we can show you where to place that instrument if you're going to do manual surgery. Or we can do that for any kind of robotic surgery where, say, move the retractor here to get better access, or move your manual instrument here, and that's the best access for no robot surgery, which is 65% of market. So that's the kind of work we're working on, and we're looking at partnerships to really expand these efforts. And our goal is to expand this out to all the different implant types, as well as different surgical centers. That way, we can see that there's a rising tide with the technology that we're creating. Thank you.
Thank you so much, dude. Great job, too. I have long been asking a lot of our industry partners to decrease reliance upon the CT scan in order to gain imaging and then reconstruction of images. They say that a CT scan of the shoulder is similar to being at Fukushima during the nuclear plant catastrophe. So it's a lot of radiation. So I'm so happy that you have a reliance upon MRI imaging and then reconstructions. But let's dig into that. Have you kind of quantified and understood the differences? Because they say CT is better for bone, and of course, MRI is better for soft tissue, just a neophyte's understanding of these things. But have you looked at the bony anatomy with the MRI, and are you gaining the same amount of accuracy with the bony anatomy when you reconstruct from an MRI?
Yeah, I think our philosophy is different in that we're not trying to outline a bone from 2D images. Once you get to that 2D image, you already create a lot of AI structures to soften the image to look nicer for radiology. But at the same time, you lost a lot of information. So we're using core information from the machines, which gives us better resolution. And we've done a lot of studies to prove that in validations. The point in Vent is we see ourselves as a deep tech company. So right now, the standard of care could be CT for orthopedics, for bones. But we're just using that as a learning tool. So as we learn more and more, we're going to be less and less reliant on different imaging modalities. And there's a world where we can go imageless and say, we have identified 18 phenotypes, and now we can just basically look from an X-ray and then grab the right one for you, including the bone density structures. So that's sort of, we're racing towards the lowest common denominator, so we don't have to rely on technologies we don't have control over.
Sort of synthetic imagery.
Right.
Right on. Very good. Thank you so much. So our last segment is Everexa, and Dr. Yoon is here to present.
Thank you very much for the introduction. I'm very honored to be here. I'm an orthopedic surgeon specialized in knee surgery, and I was trained and studied in Seoul National University Hospital in Korea, South Korea. And I'm very honored to be a part of DocSF becoming international conference. As a knee surgeon, it was quite fascinating to see a prior PGA Tour champion return to professional level of golf 3 months after torn knee arthroplasty. How did he do that? Of course, he got a good surgery, but that's because he got personalized rehabilitation every single day. And unfortunately, it's not possible for most of the patients that we see because it takes a lot of effort, time, and money to even go to the clinic to get the physical therapy. It requires multiple sessions for a long period of time, and it's very painful for the patients. And for providers, we give home rehabilitation to assist that, but giving out printed out material or a YouTube clip is just not enough for them to make it possible at home. And knee surgeons, we want patients to get better, but surgical result is not dependent on whether we do surgery or not, or how we do it. It depends on the fact that the rehabilitation is almost a half of the part of the result of the surgery. So that's why I started Everex, to give very expert level of rehabilitation every day at home with a lot of cost and time saving, utilizing AI technology. How do we do that? We utilize AI post-expansion model, which is a vision AI model without any hardware sensor or marker, utilizing just the smartphone camera. And we can detect 24 joint locations with a high accuracy and speed compared to any publicly available AI models existing. And utilizing this technology, we have built a rehabilitation platform, which is FDA Class 2 listed product for remote therapy monitoring. So since 2022, now home rehabilitation can be monitored by healthcare providers, and the data that is monitored is actually can be billed with this new CPT code RTM. It's about $150 per month per patient for the whole musculoskeletal patients, and it is reimbursed by Medicare, Medicaid, as well as larger private insurances like United Healthcare and Blue Cross Blue Shield. Our business model is to actually share this extra revenue with the providers that we are supplying. We have some clinical results to support that this kind of a digital rehab is actually helping patients with this multi-center clinical trial involving 216 patients with knee pain. We have seen great clinical result with over 80% adherence to the rehabilitation during the 12 weeks of rehabilitation using digital solution, and significant pain reduction, functional gain, and muscle increase utilizing this digital solution compared to the usual care. And with this strong AI feature, helping with the patients to actually not only report patient-reported subjective outcomes, but to report objective their progress with the providers, and the functionality that can help with billing and the notes that the provider should be putting into their EHR for the billing fulfillment. We have exceeded our expectation on the first year of sales in the U.S. with partnership with large primary care physician groups and podiatry groups and physical therapy network centers in the United States. We have actually started our business in Korea. Our headquarters whole business R&D department is in Korea right now, and we're over 50 members currently. The most power of our team is that we are full of medical professionals deeply involved in product development, clinical trial, as well as market access. We have a team in the United States. We have our head of product, Hee-won, here joining with us. And we're fully dedicated to bring this to increase the medical access for musculoskeletal patients with their rehabilitation. Since 2019, we've been supplying over 100 major hospitals in Korea, Singapore, and now United States. We've been funded over $20 million so far. We've been partnered with large enterprises like Samsung Health, LG Electronics, Sumitomo Life Insurance in Japan. We're also partnered with Novartis and large pharmaceutical company and medical companies like Johnson & Johnson as well. With this new TAM bundle payment, which is directly affecting orthopedic surgeons in acute care hospitals starting 2026, we believe that this kind of digital rehab now is a great timing actually to implement digital rehab into your workflow. Because of this TAM bundle payment, total knee arthroplasty, total hip arthroplasty, and spinal fusion surgeries in acute care hospitals are now bundled with the post-operative rehabilitation as well. You want to convert those patients with digital rehab and reduce the in-person visit while having the same effectiveness and reducing the cost.
Dr. Yoon, exciting work in Kaiser Permanente. We've explored some of these options. I just want to ask you to kind of get right to it. There's many actors in this space. I'll give you three names: Hinge, Force, MedBridge, to name a few. How's your solution better?
So there's two aspects that we are exceeding our competitors. And first is the feature with the AI model. So Hinge started off with the wearables. And we all know that except for ring and watch, all wearables actually have failed so far because patients don't wear it at home. And actually assess whole body, it's just impossible. They have to wear like 12 wearables to assess whole body. So just it's not happening. And our AI model is far greater in accuracy and speed compared to the ones that MedBridge or Hinge has and giving the objective patient progress. And secondly, we have also utilized LLM to increase the patient engagement better. And these are the technological experts that we have in our AI team who enables this. Yeah.
Folks, really great session. You see what he did? He knows competitive intelligence. He knows who his competitors are. That's really incredible. Thanks for that. Thanks for everybody who's been up here today for your presentations. We're going to move on to the next segment. Thank you.
That concludes part one of our startup showcase. Next week, we'll continue with Dr. Nicholas Kalivas from UCSF, who introduces VitVio, Tempeda, the Commons Clinic, and Formis AI.